You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Jesse Rogers is fueled by the Pride Stores, not your typical convenience store. Check out one of their 15 Chicagoland locations today. Hoodie's back in the studio. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, my friend. And Jesse and I were at the Joe West party last week, Hoodie. And you knew that part of the story, but you were gone on Friday when we got this awful news. On, I think, Saturday morning, I called Jesse. I go, Jesse, did you hear about Mark Eaton? And he said, no, we were just with him at the party. And they think he had a heart attack on a bike ride back home in Utah. They found him on the road and took him to the hospital, and he died. And it really affected me.
Yeah. How about that, Jess?
Yeah, I mean, it was weird because, like you said, you just saw the guy. And
Jesse Joe and I were hanging out there.
Yeah, and Joe was talking glowingly about him and all that stuff. It was weird. I ended up calling Joe and sort of breaking the news to him because I knew how much he cared for him, and it was like hours before he was about to work, so I figured they didn't know, and they were pretty devastated by it. So it's just weird, man. We had a fun week, and then you hear that news at the end of it just kind of put a damper on it. But man, feel bad for the whole Utah family. And anybody that knew this guy, because he was really nice.
My friend, we'll transition and talk about the baseball teams, two first-place teams, Cubs and White Sox. We'll start first with the Cubs. What stands out most about, the last 10 games? Because they're 8-2 in their last 10. What is the theme of the Cubs winning?
Oh, I wrote about it two nights ago. It's a bunch of no-names. That's what it is. I mean, it's insane. Like, the fact that they're in first place isn't all that shocking. They have good players. They had a good team even without Darvish. We don't know if they're a great elite team yet, but I always thought in this division they were going to compete. It's how they got there, J-Hood. How they got there. Patrick Wisdom, right? Keegan Thompson, Cole Stewart. I mean, we could go on and on and on. On and on and on. Sergio Alcantara, yes, the last couple
Frank
days.
Frank Chance. Frank Chance.
Oh, Tommy Nance.
Tommy Nance. Wow, I mean, that's what stands out, J-Hood. And this is a real credit to the organization as a whole, getting these guys ready, but also David Ross. Now, we're not down in the locker room, so we don't know exactly what's happening. But by definition, when you're winning with the 38th guy in your organization of your 40-man roster, your manager must be doing something right, like getting them ready, making them comfortable. It's not easy to come up from the alt site or AAA and perform. Joe Maddon did it in 15, same kind of atmosphere. And I think David Ross is doing the same thing. Hey, we need these guys to win. We can't, tiptoe around. We can't make them comfortable 3 weeks later. No, we need you now. I'm going to get you ready now, and they're doing it. That's what stands out.
So last week, the story was Joe West, and he was triggering people, all of that. Now this week, Sylvie coined a great term on a podcast with me yesterday, Cubby confusion. They're a half game up because the Cardinals won last night, and the Cubs won. They're a half game up. Jonathan read their schedule with one more with the Padres, at San Francisco, at San Diego, home with the Cardinals, at New York. Like 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, you're going to go, wow, that team really took on the challenge and proved it, or, yeah, not so much. So where is this Cubby confusion? Because there is no, well, next year we'll address it, or they only got 2 years. These guys are out of contract.
Yeah, it's a good term, Cubby confusion. I mean, look at Fangraphs. This will sum up Cubby confusion. The Cubs are basically projected to win the division or a tie with – at one point a couple days ago, Fangraphs had the Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals tying for the division with 83 wins, okay? So Fangraphs says they're going to be right there at the end for the division. Then you look over to World Series winning odds, 1.7% chance of winning it. Now, over the weekend, I tweeted at somebody that asked me a question. I said they have zero chance of winning the World Series, so I exaggerated it, and the Twitter went nuts on me, like – Fangraphs says 1.7. Now, I'm not the guy that believes in the stats. Like, you don't play the game on your laptop on Fangraphs, right? But it is an indication, just for comparison, the Padres, who are in second place right now, have an 11.8% chance. So it is an indication where they are in the landscape, and it's very confusing. Winning the division, 1.7% chance of winning the World Series. Luckily, Jed doesn't have to make any decisions right now or anything like that. But let's fast forward, like you said. They're likely to be around 500 in June just because of the schedule. I mean, two West Coast trips, the Cardinals, the Brewers at home, yes, but still in the middle of all that, it's going to be a tough month of June. So let's just say they go 500. So now you're in July and you're 8 over and you're in the thick of it. I mean, again, Jed has a tough decision to make. Now, if you extend the lead, I mean, if you're 15 over come July, then it becomes easier, right? You're probably not going to sell if you're in first place with a record of 15 games over 500. The question is if you're sort of in between. But he doesn't have to make that decision right now. He has 6 weeks to make that decision, and we should learn a lot. But if we don't learn a lot, if they're kind of where they are now, that's where, you know, roll the dice. But remember that 1.7% chance. But also remember how much they're rolling with 9 guys on the injured list. So I understand that phrase, Cubby confusion.
So, Jesse, looking at the White Sox yesterday and their loss against the Indians, a couple of things stood out. First, it was good to see the Little League home run by Billy Hamilton. With him going around the bases, he slides in safely. So that was cool. But then, you know, the Sox had Karinchak on the ropes yesterday. Abreu's up. He was ahead in the count, and it was swinging because he was on the ropes. The Sox had a chance to win that ball game. They did score 2 in the ninth, but they just fell short. And then the other question is about Cease. You know, I just want to see consistency from Cease. Again, another 3 1/3 inning output. He surrendered 6 runs yesterday. So it was a lot of storylines out of that Indians-Sox game yesterday.
Well, look, they lost 6-5 with Abreu and Mercedes going 0-for-9 and leaving 11 guys combined on base. So you almost have to look at the glass being half full. Lamb had a good game. Collins had a good game. Pitchers kind of after Cease, definitely after Cease, had a good game. So when those two guys go 0-for-9, you leave 11 on, you're probably not going to win. But Cease ran into the same problem he always runs into when he has bad outings. High pitch count, can't get through 4 or 5 innings, and it just happened that way. First inning kind of got away from him, not all his fault. But that's kind of how I look at it. But you mentioned Billy Hamilton. I got to bring this up because I've said this to you guys before. The amount of production they're getting out of him is just mind-boggling to people around the game. His extra base percentage is 47%. Half of his hits are going for extra bases. This is a guy that should be bunting half the time, at least before this season, right? 47% his extra base percentage, 10% of the time, just every 10% of his plate appearances are extra base hits. That's a career high. All sorts of career highs out of Billy Hamilton. So whatever they're doing right, whatever they're doing in terms of getting some guys ready and finding production from the lower half of their roster, that's also good on the south side. So not a lot to complain about.
Well, no, I get it, Jesse, but the seam heads will tell you that speed doesn't matter in the game anymore. And for us as a certain age of baseball fan, we know that speed is great. We could take the extra base. It still matters to me. Hamilton's an anomaly versus everyone else around Major League Baseball, is he not?
You know, when you have it, you use it, and then when you don't have it, you don't think about it. That's kind of the way I feel like, yeah, no one talks about speed, but when you have it, you're like, oh, man, Billy Hamilton got to that ball. Oh, man, Billy Hamilton scored on that. And, I mean, no other runner scores on that. They stay at third base yesterday. So I think it's a luxury that you don't talk about until you have it. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that plays, that works. The guy's been amazing, and I'm telling you, that is shocking people around the league because he has not been anywhere close to this kind of hitter previously in his career.
Jesse, we're seeing accomplished ball players go down with oblique injuries. Jack Flaherty, Fernando Tatis, me in the 60 and over league.
All right.
And then you have a great story posted on ESPN.com. The Cubs keep getting injured and keep winning. On the south side of our city, we've got a more acute injury to Aloy. You have the hip injury running
to Luis Robert. You've had Tim Anderson serve a stint. You've had Lance Lynn serve a stint. You had a lot of banged up guys. Is this all a product because of the 60-game season last year?
I wish I knew for sure, Cap. I really do. I've David Ross joked about that guys were watching Netflix instead of getting ready. But the fact of the matter is they had a whole offseason and a full spring training. Nobody really knows. I've asked Rick Hahn. I did that on the podcast last week with him. Nobody really knows, Cap. I don't know the answer to that. It'd be one thing if it was 60 games and they took 2 months off and they went right back to playing. But they took a full offseason off and then a full spring training. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I haven't heard a great explanation for it. Maybe it is guys, working too much in it. I don't know. No one's come up with a good one. I was going to say, their muscles are tight is the best thing. But why? Why are they tighter than they have been in previous years? I don't have an answer to it.
Jesse, let's talk about your column on ESPN.com. Sources, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox irked with city slow to reopen. We see around Major League Baseball almost full ballparks, and now we hear in Chicago with Mayor Lightfoot slow to the reopen. Could you tell us, based on sources, what you've been hearing from both sides as far as their how they feel about slowly opening up the ballparks?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and maybe this is a post sort of pandemic story, but this issue, this attendance issue, not just the one to increase to 100%, but overall, getting to 20, getting to 60, getting to 100. This has united the Cubs and Sox front offices like never before. I mean, there is a lot of cooperation between them and a lot of cohesiveness between the Cubs and Sox that you've never seen before. They've never needed to be on the same page about something before, and they are ticked off. They are ticked off. The Cubs have a huge series coming up June 11th with the Cardinals at home. They want 100% attendance. The Sox have already kind of sold their tickets until late June, so they have a little bit longer, but they want to know as well, because you have to understand, season ticket holders have been displaced. A guy sitting normally behind home plate is now sitting in left field, and they're getting upset. They want to sit in their seats, and of course, the Cubs want to sell the other 40% of the building, and now that the state has said we're going to reopen June 11th, where is the city on this? Sox feel the same way. Like, they are ready to sell some tickets here, and they're not getting a good answer why they can't get to 100%. California teams at 100%. The Nationals at 100%. These are places that have been very slow to reopen. Pretty much everywhere except for New York, Tampa Bay, and Seattle are basically at 100%, have announced 100%. The Cubs and Sox are really upset about this, and here's the thing. They don't have much recourse. There's not much they can do. I don't really think they can sue or there's nothing they can do except complain a little bit. So I, dug a little bit asking, when are you going to get to 100%? And they started to sound off on the city of Chicago. And final thought on this, just because I've been at Wrigley these last few days, the crowd has been absolutely amazing. So into the game. Even, I'm trying to think back a few years, were crowds into the game in the fourth inning, in the fifth inning, like they were these last 2 days? I don't know, because these guys maybe missed baseball more than anyone thought. I'm talking about the fans, and they are really into the game. And I asked Ross and Rizzo about this, and they say, yes, we feel it even more than we remember. So they want to get to 100% to feel it even more. So this is about the players. This is about the city. And for whatever reason, the mayor's office, I got sort of some circular logic when I asked them about it. They're dragging their feet.
Hey, we're out of time. I got one quick thing for you. In your story, you said, according to sources familiar with a survey completed by the Cubs to 2,000 season ticket holders, 96% said they are fully vaccinated. Wasn't immediately clear what the numbers are like for the White Sox yet on that. Can they maybe get to Jake and Eric Sogard?
I asked them if they're going to use those numbers to the city, send those numbers to the city. But, of course, that's self-reporting. It's unscientific. It's respondents. But, yeah, isn't it funny? 96% of their season ticket holders and less than 85% of their Tier 1 employees. It's very strange.
Jesse, have a great day, man.
Okay, guys, you're the best.
Take care. See you. There he is, Jesse. Hey, man, I just speak the truth.
Yeah, you're just calling him right out, man.
Hey, they have the right to do what they want, but I'm just... It might be nice.
Wow.
The NBA playoffs have been great, but we had an Isaiah Thomas situation yesterday. And I'm not talking about the short guy that played for Boston. I'm talking about the real Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, I see.
The real one. Yeah.
Good, because I was confused.
Yeah. It happened in the Valley yesterday.
When someone says Michael Jordan, do you think of the actor?
Of course, Creed.
Exactly.
Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. That's it.
Yes.
We will discuss something that went on yesterday. Not real flattering. Be right back.
Hoodie, what happened?
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
The NBA playoffs have been sensational theater. First of all, memo to Mike Malone, and you're going to coach more games in the NBA than I ever will.
Michael Malone.
Sir. Michael Malone.
Yes.
Denver Nuggets head coach.
He'll correct you on the air.
Hey, Mike. Name's Michael.
Yeah. You saw that, right? He corrected.
Right.
Don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah, I know.
Come on. Really? I don't like Dave. I don't say, somebody calls me Dave, I don't go, don't call me that. I don't do that. I like David.
I understand.
But it is what it is. I'll answer to just about anything. Anyway, Damian Lillard had 55 points last night.
Unbelievable last night.
He set an all-time record threes in a playoff game with 12, eclipsing Klay Thompson, who'd had 11. And please explain to me, when you're down three, time is running out. He had threes at the end of regulation and the first overtime to force the second one.
Sure.
Why do you not follow him?
Because they're afraid that he's going to get all three free throws?
No, I get him before he's shooting.
I get it.
Ball comes in, I'm doubling him, bam! Foul, two shots. How do you let that guy keep shooting the ball?
I think that there's sometimes when I watch the league where if someone gets hot, the competition is just watching to see if it goes in or not. And that's why I saw the Nuggets is kind of just watching the trail of the ball go into the hoop, just like, you know when Lillard's in a zone, right? He's in it off glass. He's doing it with a hand in his face. He's doing it off the dribble.
He was doing it all last night. He was insane.
And so it's amazing how there's some players that don't want to get close because they don't want to get the four-point play because that's the worst. The four-point play is the worst.
Yep.
So they don't want to get too close defensively. I get it. But Lillard, though, hats off, 55 points. Now, they're not going to win this series. And so if you're in Portland, you got to say, you know, so how are we going to get better? And Damian Lillard's just like Derrick Rose. Like, I'm never going to recruit. They know where I am. Really? You're not going to recruit? So you're just going to stay up there in Pacific Northwest and get bounced every year? Because it's a team that's good enough, Cap, but not good enough to be able to compete and win the West. It's a deep West.
The deep West. And the team that certain people bought tickets on to win the championship, that wouldn't be me, the Lakers, got their the ever-living you-know-what beaten out of them last night. I mean, that crowd in Phoenix was awesome.
Yeah. They're almost at 100% capacity,
yes,
by the way.
It was loud, raucous, and they just destroyed the Lakers. And, of course, as Charles called them, Street Clothes was sitting on the bench again. Anthony Davis. He called them Street Clothes on the postgame.
You say that to a Chicago guy. You
street
can't do
clothes.
That. Come on, Cap.
That's He's missed 154 games. DNP.
CD.
Did not play.
CD. Coach's decision.
Coach's decision. Yeah. Or because he was banged up. Street Clothes sat there, Anthony Davis, again last night as they got just eviscerated.
Shout out to Perspectives.
Perspectives Charter. Vinay Mullick, great coach.
Shout out to them.
Today they're like, we never heard of him.
Hey, Vinay, well, your former player. What?
All the
I didn't coach him.
All the trophies and the awards are turned backwards. They're turned the other way so no one can see it. There's shame.
Don't tell them he went here. In their place are just tubes of Bengay.
Okay, so I'm trying to stay awake last night. Had too much to drink. My eyes are getting heavy.
Yeah.
Lillard is helping keep me awake. The Laker game was awful. Awful. LeBron left. Not left the game and sat on the bench because they were getting blown out. I'd understand that. He left. Went to the locker room. Wasn't injured. I'm done. Left. That was brutal.
That's really bad on LeBron James' part. I understand that he leaves, and not only did he leave, the television audience left also. They went to the other game to watch the Nugget game because it went a double overtime. So he walks out. You cannot walk out on your team. Yes, Anthony Davis is out, but you just can't just walk out. There's a competitor in him that he feels like, oh, man, I feel horrible that our team's not doing well. But 5:42 left. He knows he's not going back in the game. He just leaves. I just don't understand. Jeff, do we have any sound from LeBron? Did he say anything about this? Because, you know, it's hard to explain that, isn't it? It's kind of hard to explain, like, why you left.
Frank Vogel, the Lakers head coach, did speak on it, and he just said LeBron had to start his treatment, which makes no sense. He had to start his treatment then. He couldn't have started the treatment when the game was over. He had to start his treatment then.
That just does not pass, man. You cannot do that. See, it's one thing for LeBron to be polarizing. I like LeBron James as a basketball player. Those that really know the game understand how good LeBron is from a number standpoint, longevity, all that, right, in the history of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter if you think he's number one or number 10 or number 20. He's still a top player in the league based on numbers. Point is, though, is that you just cannot walk out on your team like that. It's a bad look. For someone who is always aware of what people are saying about him, what's been said about him on First Take, on social media, he couldn't care less, apparently, about that situation. Listen, how long have we talked about Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons walking down the Bulls? For generations, Cap, for years we've been talking about it.
Still!
So now you want to be part of that conversation? Like, so not only Isaiah Thomas and the Pistons, now you walk out on your team by yourself?
So I got to start my treatment. I'm out.
No, that doesn't work.
Sit there.
No. Now, is there anything that you admire about that? Because some would say he's a sore loser for leaving. Is there something good about that? Because we've seen this before, right? Mm-hmm. With Tom Brady. Same situation,
when he
right?
wouldn't shake Nick Foles' hand. Right.
Twice.
But we call LeBron, Serena, Tom Brady, ultimate competitors. And they've proven it through their storied careers. But he walks out because I got to start my treatment 5 minutes and 42 seconds early?
No. He just got tired of watching it, and so did the nation. Everybody got tired of watching that.
Right.
I mean, nothing against the Suns. The Suns are a great story. But the Suns are up now 3-2, and they drilled the Lakers. You just knew after the first time out, Cap's like, okay, this is not going to work.
Right.
It's not a lineup. I know people in Los Angeles are pounding Vogel about the lineup, but there's nothing you could do about that. You can't replace Anthony Davis in that lineup. As good as Morris is, Morris is not Davis. So, I mean, you could just tell through the first time out and then the second, like, this is not working because the Suns were up 34-26 in the first, and, like, they're not coming back. The Lakers scored 10 points in the second quarter. Done. They folded.
Oh, my goodness.
That's
like,
it.
I'm watching that game, and it's like 36-27, 38-27, 39-27, 40-27. I keep watching, and the Lakers are sitting at 27 points. It was brutal. Brutal.
You know what's most upsetting about LeBron walking off? And LeBron James, you know, Charles Barkley is infamous for saying, I'm not a role model. You should look to teachers and police officers and doctors as role models. But LeBron James has always worn being a role model with a sense of pride, right?
Right.
Whether it's social movements, it's political movements, it's just being a stand-up guy, a dad, and a husband. What he did yesterday for any little kid watching is an embarrassment, because here you are, the best player on the planet, and your team's losing and you just walked away. That's what upsets me most about it. If my kids were awake and they were watching that, I would have had to explain to them that that's something you never do. And it's hard to say he's the best in the world. We love to watch him play, but he's a sore loser.
Thank God that you are the Superman in that house and that you are the role model and not him.
That's what parents have to be, right? We do look to athletes as role models, and it's all right for our kids to do that. Listen, I get on the basketball court with my son. I'm not slam dunking the ball. He watches LeBron James. He can see he's at a different level. And when they encompass being a role model like LeBron does, it's more disappointing when they do something like yesterday and let you down.
I think that the first thing that you tell, I tell my child is like, look, if that's your sports hero, that's one thing, but he can't be your role model. I understand that I can't dunk a basketball or I can't hit a home run far. And I know you have I don't even know if they do the posters on the wall anymore like it was when I was a kid. But if you have a sports admiration for someone, mm-hmm. it should just be that. Because I tell my son and daughter, look, man, you don't really know these people, right?
Correct.
And they might disappoint you, but I will try not to. Because these are people that you don't know, but you see on TV, you see that on your laptop, you see all that. But you don't know, Cap, these people. LeBron James, as great as LeBron James is, walks away from the team? Come on, man. I can give LeBron the benefit of the doubt all day, but I can't do anything with that. You sit there and you take it. That's what you do. You sit there until the is zeros in the clock and you walk off with your team. You walked on with your team. You walk off with your team.
Agreed.
What the hell are you doing,
now, if
man?
You told me he was injured and they're helping in the lock, different story. He put his shirt back on and he left.
Can't do that.
LeBron had to start his treatment early.
Really?
No. No. He could have sat there for another 4 or 5 minutes and watched your ass get kicked.
Correct.
Because clearly he couldn't do it by himself. The team wasn't very good. And so you have to be a leader in that spot. That's not leadership.
Agreed.
It's just not.
Agreed. I have three dogs, Yoshi, Sparky, and Stanley, and I adore them all. How far would I go for them? We'll find out next.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
So there's a video out. You can find it anywhere on social. It's had what? 5.8 million hits? So this massive brown bear jumped into someone's backyard, like on the retaining wall.
On the fence, yeah.
Yeah. And that bear is a monster.
Right.
It's got its cub, so it's walking on the fence. There's a fence between two properties.
Yeah, it's like a brick fence.
Yeah, a brick retention
fence.
Wall.
The mama bear is walking on the fence with two baby bears basically between its legs underneath it. All of a sudden, four dogs come out, which I thought only Cap is a person with multiple dogs, but four dogs come out.
Yeah.
And the dogs start barking at the bear. The bear tries to swipe one of the dogs. And all of a sudden, a 17-year-old girl named Haley runs out there to protect her dogs and pushes the bear.
I mean, that's just
amazing.
And
that bear's what, 2,000 pounds?
Yeah, I mean, all I know is that bear, first of all, I liked how the bear could be able to be on that wall, that brick wall, and not fall off. So I liked the buoyancy of that
right.
of that
and
bear.
And the two bear balance. Cubs are like underneath her.
The balance of the wall, yes. The balance of that bear on that wall, that's number one. But number two, those dogs, what are they – why are they barking at the bear?
Well, how about –
why don't you run away?
Like the one big dog, like the bear is swiping with those claws at him.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't own a dog, but do you think a dog knows that's a bear?
Yeah,
like,
no,
oh, my
listen.
God, I shouldn't mess with it? Or does a dog just think that's another dog? And usually when dogs see dogs, they start barking and they get all frisky like that.
Right.
Jeff, so I think it's just natural dog behavior.
Jeff, does your dog, would your dog identify and know what a bear is?
I haven't given her a bear test. I may have to do that when I go home today.
I think mine
but
would.
I have to imagine. Well,
just hold up a picture of Yogi and see if this is.
So what happens is, like, frequently when I let my dog out, sometimes they will see an animal, whether it be a squirrel or a rabbit, scurry by, and if I don't
squirrel!
If exactly oh, no! And if I don't happen to TV? Notice it, I let her out, she will dart in the direction, so I could very easily see my dog seeing a bear like that walk along the retention wall. I could very easily see my dog going up to bark at it, and let's be honest, oof. This dog is lucky that the bear did not get that big paw on that dog's snout, because that could have been dangerous. And then this girl, my goodness, man.
Yes.
She's 17 years old. Her name's Haley.
Kudos to her, man.
Haley is awesome.
No, I don't know. Awesome or ridiculous? I mean,
lucky?
I mean, very lucky. Put that on the poll, JR, at Cap J Hood. Is Haley, is she awesome or is she, what was the word?
Are we lucky? Lucky?
Lucky.
Ridiculous? Insane.
I mean,
she barely got away.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
If you didn't see the video, we tweeted it out at the Cap and J-Hood Twitter page. You should definitely check it out if you didn't see it.
Okay,
but
so,
you know what they say? They say, okay, with bears, right? Bears aren't looking to attack. Bears don't eat people, right? So they're not looking to attack you. They say that if you're in the wild and you come across a bear, be very cautious that there aren't cubs around, because if a person gets between mama bear and the babies, that's when mama bear is going to attack. So that's what makes what Haley did even crazier, is there are two baby bears there. Like, she's going right up to mama bear when mama bear wants to strike.
Like, how fast can that bear run? Like, can I, if Hoodie and I were walking down the street, can we outrun that bear?
No shot.
Well, I just have to outrun you then.
No, no shot. You're not getting by me either.
25 miles an hour. A bear can run up to 25 miles an hour.
So we're dead.
If a bear is chasing me, I'm ahead of you, because just from genetics. But the point is that...
My God.
Well, this is where... See, this is where I will give young 17-year-old Haley some credit.
There goes a runner.
She had home field advantage here. She clearly understood that the bear on the retention wall, even though it's displaying great balance, the bear was at a disadvantage because bear was on the defensive. And as she approached it, she pushes it, and she strategically pushes it on the other side of the fence, knowing that the bear is going to, you know, fall down. Like, it looks, it's hard to see from the view.
No, Jeff, I'm not pushing a bear, though, man.
But I'm saying good.
But with those huge claws, the bears could, like, you go in to push the bear.
Oh,
the bear just has to put out one claw and
you're
get
right.
you.
You're right about that, Daniel. But what I will say is that Haley was treating her dogs like she was a mama bear there. And she was protecting her dogs. So kudos to her.
She's pushing the bear off the top rope. You see that?
Yeah. Knocks him right off the wall.
Like two, not like two hands shove like it's a dude. Like that's a bear, man.
Yeah. She needed a second shove because clearly she wasn't ready for how thick the bear was.
So, pardon the expression.
Yes.
So now tell me about this the black dog here, because that's the one that wants to get in a fight with the bear. Now, what did that black dog think he was going to do?
Bark.
Defend its territory, man.
I mean,
you don't come in my yard.
But the black dog is there trying to swipe at the bear. The bear's standing on the wall swiping at this black dog.
And then the black dog goes, I'm out.
Yeah. You realize that's a bear, don't you, pal? That's amazing.
Like so I have Yoshi's 13 and a half.
Yeah.
He's a mutt.
You just let the bear take him, right?
No. I would do it may not end as well for me, but I'm defending my dog.
Cap, come on now. I mean, one of them's got to go. There's no way you're going to fight a bear. And you don't even fight the bears on the post-game show you do, so you're not going to do it in real life.
You don't think I'll take Crouton?
You will not.
Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. You're not taking Lance or you're not taking Alex Brown. So if you're not going to take him on in real life, something's going to happen to your dog, man. Because your first instinct is not to push the bear like Haley. She's young. She didn't care. You're not pushing a bear.
It was a good jab, like an offensive lineman. She stunned the bear.
I mean, if that's happening in Cap's backyard in Riverwoods, you know it's just happening. He's getting on the phone. I need bear control. Something's happening. I'm David Kaplan. I'll talk about you on the air. I'll give you a free plug. Cap and J-Hood Mornings.
I mean,
beep, 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 beep.
Credit to Haley.
Shapiro! Take that!
That video, you've got to watch. It's been seen multiple platforms, total over 5.7 million times.
I understand that, Cap, but in that spot, you're not pushing that bear.
I would have tried to do what she did. Those dogs are family members, man.
Or dinner for that bear.
For that bear.
I mean, Danny, I don't think that Cap has got the chutzpah to push that bear down, do you?
There's no way. Cap's rolling up in a ball being like, oh, I loved Yoshi so much, but he's gone now.
Honestly, let's not undersell, though. I think the bear, that was a very disappointing effort by the bear.
Well, I wanted to ask this question. Remember a couple weeks ago in Shout or No Shout, I cited a survey.
Perfect on our football team.
I cited a survey that said that 6% of Americans think they could beat a bear in a fight.
Yes.
Does this count as her winning?
Yes.
Yes. She
100%.
Won.
So she's one of that 6%.
That bear's going back to his little bear hole and wherever they live.
The old bear hole, huh?
And
they live in a tree.
Hole. And here he comes in.
You lost to a 17-year-old girl.
The other bears are laughing at her?
Yeah.
in the locker room?
At him.
That bear is getting criticized tomorrow on Sports Talk Radio.
No question.
Haven't been this disappointed since Robert Quinn last year.
Exactly. All right.
What in the world?
What are the Oakland A's feeding their players? And there's more developments this morning.
Bear.
Not. But that's next.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Love a little Bruce in the morning.
You do. Well, that happened a long time ago. It didn't work. Go ahead. Someone will text you and get that. You'll get that later.
Yeah, thanks. What are the Oakland A's feeding their players? Did you see the couple minor leaguers posted a picture? This is what they feed us as minor leaguers in the Oakland A's organization.
Mm-hmm.
It is a styrofoam, like, sectioned-off container like you get from a restaurant to get takeout.
Mm-hmm.
Or at a really crappy backyard barbecue. That's what they'll serve it in. It's flimsy. It's a scoop of nasty-looking coleslaw, two slices of white bread, an awful-looking piece of lettuce, a nasty-looking little piece of tomato, and one slice of processed American cheese.
So the A's minor leaguers are in jail, apparently.
Yeah.
Is that part of the Moneyball plan?
I guess.
Is that what it is? If that is the case, that's disgusting.
Then there is the fajitas that they had. It was one, I think that's a pepper.
Red and orange pepper, yeah.
Red and orange peppers. And one, literally, a tiny little strip of chicken in a nasty-looking tortilla.
I know it's the minor leagues, but it can't be that rough. I know it's not that rough. That's AAA, right?
So that's AAA.
They're minors. Like, I don't know.
Oh, whatever their minor league
affiliate
system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So some of the players tweeted pictures of how awful the food is. Now this morning, the A's have fired the catering company.
They're blaming the vendor.
Yeah. They fired
them. It's the A's fault.
And they fired them.
Point fingers at the vendor. Aren't you supposed to vet the vendor? Isn't that your job to protect your players?
So I was talking with Joe Girardi one day, and I said, what are the Yankees doing? He said that George came in one day. So this has got to be what, in the mid-90s?
Sure.
Joe said, I had just gotten there. So mid-90s. And he said, George came in and said, that's what we give our minor leaguers? Guys are eating McDonald's? These are the guys we're hoping to become the next great Yankee. And he said he had an emergency meeting and ended up hiring a chef for the spring training facility in Tampa, and then a mandate throughout the system. It's going to cost us, I think he said at that point, it was $1 million. We are going to have a smoothie bar and a salad bar, and we're going to have a chef, and you want something special, we're going to cook, and you're going to eat healthy. Why would I pay a guy a big signing bonus and then force him to try and make it on McNuggets?
You want to be able to have class, and you want to be able to take care of your organization from top to bottom, Danny. That's not the A's should be ashamed of themselves by looking at these sandwiches. I mean, it looks like would probably. I think people in jail actually eat better than this.
My one night in jail, I did eat better than that. That's for sure. But let me ask you this question. I think, you know what I think's interesting about this? If it was okay, we work for Good Karma Brands.
Yes.
If it was Good Karma Brands' job to feed us, and they fed us poorly, would we have the chutzpah to take to Twitter and tweet out how poorly we were eating?
No.
Like, I also think that's a really interesting part of the story. Like, they're being treated poorly, the minor league players, and they deserve better. So I don't want it to sound like I'm being callous here. But the fact that they took to Twitter to show it is really ballsy on their part, isn't it?
Well, it is. But at the same time, like, maybe the A's just contracted the NCAA, what they did for the women's tournament.
Their
remember?
Weight room. Oh my God.
For their weight room.
Well, and their food. Their food was subpar as well before they, you know, shamed them on social media. Honestly, I'm not that surprised because this is the go-to move if you're somebody who, you know, doesn't necessarily have all the leverage in the world, the best way to expose it is to point out on social media, hey, you guys enjoy watching baseball? Well, the future potential players of Major League Baseball are trying to get to the show, and an organization that's making billions of dollars, you know, it's a billion-dollar entity,
yeah,
these franchises, and it's just stupid business, first off, because as you said,
what Joe Girardi
pointed out, like, it's only going to help you if your minor league players who you're hoping turn your franchise around eventually or can add to what you already have in place, if you're feeding them the best possible food to make sure they perform at the highest optimal level.
Just to add to that, you know, as Jeff mentioned, you know, sometimes, Cap, maybe this has been going on for a while and the only way to get attention is to put it out there on social media.
But you can't be the only one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there were a bunch of players that did it. The women's tournament. There were a bunch of the ladies that were playing in that tournament that did it, where it's not like, oh, that's one malcontent. No, everybody's saying it.
Right.
And that's how you get changed.
I cannot believe that that's what they're doing to the A's players. What do they make, Cap? 15, 20,000?
Oh, no, not even close.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's like close to 12.
I think it's like
12 grand, basically.
For the season.
Yes, yeah, for a minor league player.
Like $900 a month plus whatever stipends. The only money you get is, like, every minor leaguer is treated the same at whatever level they're at.
Mm-hmm.
It's your signing bonus. So right. If you're a 52nd round pick and you got $2,000 to sign, he ain't got much.
Well, and it's interesting because I know the Houston Astros caught a lot of praise recently because of the way they actually are treating some of their minor leaguers. They actually have set aside some good housing so that they don't have to worry about, you know,
correct.
Setting
and a lot
up
of
police.
Teams are going to start following. Like,
but this is a problem. They shouldn't be getting praised. Mm-hmm. Again,
should be these standard.
Are multi-million dollar entities.
Like Andrew Berlin, who owns the South Bend Cubs.
Yeah.
He built an apartment complex on the outside of, I think it's called Four Winds Field in South Bend. They're beautiful. That's where his players live. I got you. I mean, that's how it should be everywhere.
Class.
Yep. It's day one at Hallis Hall. That's right. Game on! 2 minutes.
Yes!